Welcome to Big Bet Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, which is a continued conversation with Gia Gambaro-Blunt, who is a parenting consultant and has some really interesting takes on kids who always want to be naked and a controversial stance on sharing toys. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our show. This is episode 214. Hello, Shauna.
Hi.
All right, so let's get right to it. Tell me all about your week and what you guys have been up to.
Okay, so this is an update to last week. I think I was talking about this.
Okay.
I had planned to go to Phoenix to visit my family with my whole family. And yeah. After our Redondo Beach trip, I was like, put the brakes on that. Let's rethink this because that was extremely stressful for me, right?
Yep.
Yes. So I thought about it and an idea popped into my head. I was like, what if just me and Elle go to Phoenix? Like, we'll just book a ticket on Southwest, like a cheap one. We'll not go the entire week. We'll just go for like 5 days. We were planning on going like 8 days or something, and cut it short and leave Cece and Steve at home in LA. So I called my mom. I was like, Mom, you know, I'm super stressed about this whole trip and I, you know, need to be honest with you. And I have this new idea. And she's like, whatever you need to do, Shauna, whatever you need to do is totally fine. Just let me know. And I was like, okay. So then I pitched it to Steve and he was like, I'm kind of scared to be alone with Cece all week, you know, because she's really in that mommy phase. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but I can do it and it's better for me to like stay and work and stuff anyway. I was like, okay. So I booked an airline ticket for me and Elle and we flew out to Arizona and that's what we did this week.
Wow. When's the last time you were on a plane?
Oh gosh. Probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, before Cece was born. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the last time we were on a plane was going to Portland when Augie was 6 months old. So we're about to leave for this trip to Portland in a couple weeks. And I'm just like, plane travel. I don't remember what that's like.
Yep. It was familiar. I mean, you jump right back in. It's like riding a bike. It's like, oh, yeah, the pre-check, the plane, the sitting by strangers, blah, blah, blah. And it was fine. Elle was super duper excited. Cece was sad. Actually, when I told her the news that she wasn't going to get to come, I left her home for a couple reasons. First, just obviously the stress of the trip and her temperament right now is really tricky. But the main reason, honestly, is because she's not vaccinated for COVID yet. And like bringing her in the airport and airplane, she was going to get vaccinated. And then she got hand, foot and mouth disease. Right. So, so it's like nothing works in my favor right now. Not true, but that's how it felt.
Yes.
And so, you know, we're just like, I think it'd be better if she just doesn't fly right now and we'll take her another time. So she was like, oh, that's not fair. That's not fair. And got really upset. And we tried to spin it and be like, you get to spend special time with daddy and watch lots of TV and, you know, just whatever. So she turned her attitude around and she was actually pretty excited for Elle to get the experience to go on a plane. And it was OK. It was OK.
And I imagine traveling with a 6.5 year old is a lot easier than traveling with a 3.5 year old.
Yeah, I think so. Elle is easy peasy. She is super excited, you know, spent most of the time on the plane just playing on her pad. And it was great. It was actually really, really fun to have all that one-on-one time with my older child.
Yeah.
Which I haven't had since Cece was born. And I feel like I really bonded with her and we had a great time.
Yeah, I was going to say that's something really special that you don't get as much when you have a second kid. Like, and the first kid, you know, you have it for so long. I mean, with Augie, he was only 2 when Sebastian was born, but still it's like you get those 2 years of like, it's just you and them. It's like you're this little team. And then the second baby comes along and it's great. And you all become a team, but you miss that one-on-one time for sure. Yes. I do. I know I do.
Yeah, I did too. And I didn't really realize it. So we were partners in crime on this trip and it was really fun. My mom lives in a little HOA neighborhood in Phoenix that I grew up in, same house I grew up in. And it's got like this big swimming pool in the middle of the neighborhood and this this park with all this green grass. That's where I had every birthday party growing up. So I got to show Elle my childhood home. And of course, she loved the pool. We went swimming immediately and had so much fun. Then we spent a couple days in Flagstaff, which is like 2 hours north of Phoenix. We rented an Airbnb and went up to the mountain and did like inner tubing down the mountain and trampoline jumping and rode the ski lift. And my brother came and his girlfriend. I got to meet her finally. And it was just like awesome. It was actually really, really great.
I mean, that sounds idyllic, right? Like a fun getaway as opposed to a stressful trip where you're like responsible for everyone's happiness and feeding.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, I felt bad for leaving Cece. I felt sad for leaving her. I've never been away from her this long.
Yeah.
So there were mixed feelings, a lot of guilt, sadness. But ultimately, I think I made a good decision because I did what I needed to do to like have a good time and have the, you know, a nice time with my family and have Elle enjoy herself. And Cece was fine. Steve's like, oh my God, she's a little angel. She's had no meltdowns this week. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, she was a little angel for him all week, which is wonderful. But yeah, it worked out. So, you know, try something unorthodox sometimes. Go with your gut. Try to do what's, you know, you feel in your heart maybe you need to do, even if it's different or hard, because it might just work out.
I'm impressed that she was so, I guess, even keeled with Steve all week. You would think that missing mommy would make her more on edge.
Yeah, I would think so, too. She did have trouble at drop-offs at preschool. So I think she was feeling it then, and a couple, like, you know, midnight wake-ups when she was a little worried. But during the day, apparently, they were two peas in a pod and just having a grand old time, eating popcorn, watching Paw Patrol. So it sounded like a nice bonding experience for them, too, because she has been in such a, you know, intense mommy phase.
Yeah, almost like a reset. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as soon as I came home, it was like
It reverted.
She was very excited to see us. They came to the airport to get us and she was thrilled and gave Elle the hugest hug. It was like, I missed you, Elle. And of course, same for me. And it was good to be reunited. And then she went back to her old mommy loving ways. She's so cute, though. I love her.
Well, I'm so glad you had a nice trip and you figured out a way to do it where you weren't as stressed out as your last one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nice. But yeah, we're back now. And I think maybe I caught a little something on the airplane in the airport, starting to feel like I'm going under the weather.
Not the cove?
So far, I've tested negative on a home test. But we'll see. My throat is on fire. I'm not out for too long. Anyway, that's our week. What have you been doing? Did you get on an airplane and go anywhere?
No. No, we did not. Because my lovely child, my 3.5-year-old Augie, got his first real stomach bug this week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Although it's not as bad for you as that is for me, so that's good.
It's not. And luckily, I won't go into fine detail about the bodily excretions, but I will say that he only like puked for one morning. Basically, he had like a couple pukes in the morning, and then it was mostly, like diarrhea type situation. Which was kind of a bummer. And you realize it's kind of more of an issue when they're not in diapers. Like, diapers help contain. And I don't want to go too much into detail because I want to, you know, respect his privacy. But I will say that if you have a kid who is potty trained but has a stomach bug, do what we call the lasagna method on the bed, which is like waterproof protector, sheet, another waterproof protector, another sheet. So you can just like peel it off and like throw it straight in the wash and then have like a fresh layer of sheets below. So you don't have to be like rooting around in your closet in the middle of the night.
That's smart.
For fresh sheets. So I'll just leave it at that. But, you know, he only had like the worst GI symptoms for like 2 days, but then he just had no appetite and no energy for like almost the whole week.
Aw, poor Bud.
It was so heartbreaking to watch. Like, this boy who usually is just a maniac running around, you know, never wanting to stop playing, he wouldn't walk from the couch to the dining table to, like, try to have a snack because he's like, I get too tired. Mama, can you carry me?
Aww.
And we had started buying, like, 4T clothes for him. He's already a fairly thin guy. Just his normal build is just kind of thin. But he wasn't eating and he, like, was visibly losing weight. You know, we had started buying some 4T clothes for him because the 3Ts were starting to get a little bit too tight. And, you know, he's 3.5. So actually, yeah. He turned 3.5 this week. And he should be getting into 4Ts, right? But poor thing. Like, we put him in some 4T pants that we just had around. Like, those are the ones that were nearby. We put them on him, and they just, like, literally fell off his body.
No.
Like, they wouldn't stay up. He was like, my pants. We're like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. So we had to revert back to, like, all the 3T things.
Wow.
He seems to be on the upswing. He's starting to eat a little bit more. So I think he's getting out of the woods. His pediatrician said there's a stomach bug going around and, like, to expect him to, you know, be pretty lethargic for, like, 7 to 10 days. So, you know, as long as he's getting some fluids and a little bit of food, like, not to worry too much, which he is. And now he's eating more. He's starting to eat, like, a King's Hawaiian roll, you know, like,
good.
But there was like a day where he ate basically nothing. And the poor thing, it's just heartbreaking to watch because let me show you. I'll send you a picture of the poor thing. This is the child who never naps at home. I should, you know, remind you.
Oh, right.
Okay. I just sent you a series of photos from the day where he was the worst. I mean, he just napped all day.
Mm-hmm.
Poor thing. I feel kind of bad for taking photos like this, but also, you know, have to remember.
Oh, poor buddy. He looks like he's even napping in the bathtub.
He tried to fall asleep in the bathtub.
Oh,
he was like,
love.
It's so cozy.
Yeah, I bet. The warm water. Oh, it's so heartbreaking when they're sick like that. Did you get extra cuddles and snuggles in with him?
Yeah, we just sort of spent all day on the couch alternating who gets to be with him. Mm-hmm. Poor sweetheart. So anyway, that's been pretty much like what we've been doing this week. Luckily, so far, Sebastian is not sick. So
good.
He's still sleeping like crap. You know how last week I was like, we need to sleep train. We were planning on it, but I didn't want to sleep train him this week and then, like, somehow miss that he was getting sick too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was one night I went in and he felt really warm. And then the next morning he didn't really have a fever. So I don't know. You know how kids sometimes they, like, have, like, 12-hour fevers and, like, they go away?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My girls have had that.
Yeah. So I think maybe that was what was happening because I went in and took his temp and it was like 101. But then by the morning he was fine. So I don't know. But I wasn't going to sleep train when it was potentially like him waking up because he's sick. So.
Right. Good call.
That's on the back burner until everyone's healthy again. One cute thing that happened this week, though, is in an effort to bribe Augie into eating something, we went and got donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And Sebastian pointed and said, donut.
Oh.
So I added that to my spreadsheet.
That's an important word to know. That's good. Good on him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He hasn't repeated it, but I was like, well, that was very clear. So that got added to the spreadsheet.
Awesome.
Anyway, that's about it for us this week. We really didn't do much because we had a sickly household. Yeah. I know you know how that is.
Yes, I do. Well, hopefully everything is on the up and up next week.
Yes. But in the meantime, shall we take a break? Because we have an awesome special segment coming up, and I think we need to get to it.
Yeah. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is part two of our interview with Gia Gambaro-Blunt, parenting consultant and Laura's toddler whisperer, who she's been in Toddler Me class with for several years. She was with us last week and gave us some amazing answers to our burning questions, the listeners' burning questions, and we've got more listener questions. So, Gia, welcome back to the show. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you so much for asking me back. I'm really happy to be here.
Yay. All right, Laura, I think we should dive right in so we can answer some more questions. I think we have a voice memo up first. You want to play that for us?
Yes, I do. Here it is.
Hi, this is Alia from Portland, Oregon. My question is about my 3.5-year-old who does not like to wear clothes and is naked around the house and in the backyard as much as possible. And we're totally fine with that in the house, in the backyard, at the beach. But she likes to go out onto the porch or stand on the front steps and wants to be naked in public. And we want to talk to her about keeping herself and her body safe and dressing appropriately, but we also really don't want to make her feel shame about her body, and we also don't want to make her afraid of other people. So I'm trying to walk that fine line, and I'm really not sure how to have that conversation. Thank you so much. I love the podcast. I really appreciate everything and the Facebook group and everybody. Thanks so much.
Ooh, I have this question too. My girls are little nudists, and any advice is super welcomed.
Yeah, no, and you know, this is interesting because it's not just nudity. Sometimes there are things that make us uncomfortable in public that our kids do, like picking their nose or sticking their hands into their underwear, or, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. So those are all kind of related in the same type of category. And it's that, like, is this the right place and time for this behavior? And they have to see that through modeling and empathetic understanding. So it's a forced perspective shifting or sharing. Because they don't feel it naturally, you're going to share how you perceive the right time and place to be naked, pick your nose, or touch yourself. Mm-hmm. Does that track so far?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's not like telling them, like, oh, you can't be naked in public, because their brain is like, I don't have a construct for being naked in public or not. I feel fine in my body. So they have to start to learn how we have a social contract and with society at large. But I love the listener. Was that Alia?
Yeah, Alia.
I loved her very, like, body positive approach. And a way to instill that and keep that approach really thriving is to share body positivity and of your own. So you would say something along these lines, like, you know, when mommy gets out of the shower, I stay naked for a little while until I dry myself off and feel ready to put my clothes on. Being naked in the shower and in my bathroom and in my bedroom is a very fun place for mommy to be naked. And that's just transparent modeling. It's not saying you should, I always, you never, right? Mm-hmm. It's just kind of drawing attention and awareness to what is considered through your family lens to be appropriate. The thing is, our family lens and our family values do butt up against our social contracts. It is not okay for a child to be naked in public, not in our society, maybe somewhere in the south of France. So we could all move there together and be lovely.
That's a solution I like.
Yeah, I like that solution too. So the first step is to draw attention to where you and your family find it okay to be naked, or the other things I said, like pick your nose is something that you can do in the bathroom, or to touch yourself is something you can do in the bedroom or in the shower. You know, you just give the facts. You just share the facts. And then when they're doing it or want to do it, then you ask a critical thinking question. So her child is 3.5, so they're old enough to not be told what to do. So then you ask a critical thinking question, which elicits their own idea, or they pull from what you've told them. Is this the right time and place for you to be naked? And let them answer. See what they say. They might not. So if you're like, hey, you're on the front porch, you shouldn't be naked. It's just more of the same. It's like the wah, 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 the Charlie Brown teacher. You go on, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talked about that in the episode that I was on before. When we get annoying because we're saying the same thing over and over again, we can stop. This is a communication shift that is developmental. We have to stop telling our kids what to do and instead prompt action. So where do you want to be naked? It looks like your body wants to be naked right now. Where is a place that you can do that? So it's not saying don't do it. It's not saying stop it. It's having them pull out of their file what's appropriate. What place, what time. You want to be naked? Go for it. You could be naked in the house. And that's where the family rules come in, right? If you're fine with them naked all over the house, that's the family rule. But as soon as we leave the house, it's not just the family rule. We have to mesh with our social constructs, our societal agreements that we've made.
I love this idea of asking the critical question. You know, mm-hmm. there's just so many things with Cece, the three-year-old. It's like she has a habit of chewing on her hair, right? It's just like I'm constantly like, oh, don't chew on your hair. Don't chew on your hair. And like that's making no difference, right? But maybe mm-hmm. I could find a way to make her think about it and make a choice instead. I love this idea.
Absolutely. That's a really good example, because the other thing that I'm hearing is that she needs a replacement behavior, which we talked about the last time we met. So you're going to guess what is triggering the chewing, which maybe is some underlying like either boredom or anxiety or habit or something, right?
Right.
So you could get to the root of that. Or make your best guess. You could say something, oh, honey, I notice you're chewing your hair. I wonder if you can squeeze this ball instead, or have this stick of gum instead, or play with this fidget spinner or this popper. Here's a popper, right? So replacement behavior, that's one. And then once you kind of get that ball rolling, then when you see her chewing her hair, then you can say, oh, what can you do instead of chewing your hair? Right. Then she could be like, oh, what? Oh, that's right. Okay. Let me go get my popper or something like that.
Absolutely. And she loves getting answers right. Right. She loves being right. She loves knowing information. So she's going to love this.
Oh, great. Good.
Yes. Okay. We have another question from Maggie. She says, my little girl just wants to hold and squeeze her baby brother, and I'm having trouble how to guide her into doing that gently without feeling like I'm disciplining her for loving him. My daughter is 3 and my son is 10 months. Gia, any insight on that question?
Yeah, this is a pretty typical one. And it reminds me of one of the clients that I had for a consulting call. And I actually asked her to film it. So her situation was she'd be playing with her sibling or her dad, and everything was going great. And then all of a sudden she'd smack one of them or squeeze one of them. And she's like, why is she so aggressive? And so I had her film it, and then I could figure out what was going on. And my hunch is the same for this listener of yours. There is something, and it's very real, and you have it too. It's called cute aggression. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
I think we've talked about that on the show. Yes.
Yeah, I think we talked about it way back in one of our very early episodes.
So it's cute aggression combined with feelings of love and warmth that can pop. So we are very familiar as parents when feelings of anger and rage pop. That looks like hitting and biting or throwing or whatever. But we are less familiar with recognizing feelings of love and joy pop. So this combination of cute aggression, oh my God, that baby is so cute, that dog is so cute, and oh my God, I love my daddy so much, I love my dog so much, I love my sibling so much, that combination can look like misbehavior or aggression, right? Hitting, biting, squeezing, slapping, because their little bodies just like can't take it anymore. they were just so filled up with excitement and joy. So one of the ways to kind of get ahead of that is to give them a big bodied response before they do. So it takes a lot of observation and intervention. So like this family that I just described them sending in the video, I said like at minute marker, like 1.3, you know, you could see she started to get excited. If daddy gave her a big squeeze, she probably wouldn't have hit him because she is so excited that they're playing this game together that she just like explodes with joy. But a joy explosion came out as a slap, right? So same with this baby squeezing. If you can go in there and be like, okay, we can do a big hug before they go for that big squeeze, right? Because my guess is they could sit side by side for a couple of seconds before they feel like they're bubbling over. And also give them something to do, because hugging a baby is lovely, but it's short-lived and you still have all that good juices flowing that you want more of that. So can they read a book to the baby? Can they show the baby their favorite toy or doll or dinosaur, whatever? What can they do with the baby besides just touching them? They can sing in front of the baby. They can dance in front of the baby. Oh, show your 10-month-old brother how to sing Itsy Bitsy Spider. The baby's not truly probably locking in and paying attention, but it doesn't matter because the older sibling gets to express their love and excitement and joy through some physical activity. Mm. And it can satiate that same desire.
Absolutely. I would imagine this might be helpful too with pets. I know we got a couple listener questions about like toddlers with dogs and maybe being a little bit too much. What do you think about that?
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
Give them a way to touch the dog that's safe. One finger to touch, two finger touch. Show them how to pet them. That's one thing. But also give them things to do. Can they feed the dog? Can they pour water in the bowl? Can they learn? Can like give a toddler the leash and try and have them clip it? It's so hard. They'll be working on it for a good 7 minutes, right? So, I mean, you can have them throw a ball. You can have them give them a treat. You can have them, you know, whatever. Give them a task. Instead of saying gentle, 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 you could be like, right, do this. Right? Have the dog chase you. Have the ball, throw this ball for them to chase. Give them tasks. Mm-hmm. Keep them busy and show like this is what connection looks like. Right? Connection looks like you doing what they want as well as you doing what you want. It's a way that you both get mutually mutual enjoyment out of this exchange.
Right. Very well said.
It's so funny because I'm thinking about like how I talk to Augie about his interactions with Sebastian is kind of the same way I talk to Sebastian about his interactions with the cats.
Yes.
So like with Augie, I'll be like, oh, you're giving him a big hug, but does his face look like he's enjoying it? Like, oh, his body language is saying he's all done with the hug. And then Sebastian will go to the cats and I'll be like, does the way the kitty cat's sitting, that just shows he doesn't like what you're doing. It's time to take a break. Oh, you know, like,
exactly.
But he loves Sebastian. It's so cute. He loves finding the cat toys and like walking them over to the cats. And then he just like drops them in front of the cats and is like, here you go. And the cats look at him like, what do you want me to do?
I love that. He's like, look, I'm doing my part. Now you do yours.
Cute.
So great. Okay, so we have another question. It's actually a question we got from a couple people, so I don't know who to credit. But the big question we got from like one listener named Lauren, all it said is, sharing toys, in all caps plus an exclamation point. Like, I know sharing toys is a huge topic and a huge like stress point for parents. So how can you help us, Gia, with the endless sharing issues we have?
I am so happy you asked this question. It's one of my favorite questions to answer because you're going to be surprised at what I'm going to say.
Well, I'm probably not because I've been in class with you for 3 years.
You've been in my class. Yeah.
Oh, I'm ripe for it. Okay.
You're ready? You're ready, yeah. Shauna? There is no reasonable expectation of teaching children how to share because it is not a sustainable lifelong goal. We do not teach sharing to toddlers because we do not expect adults to be sharers. What we expect adults, we don't. Adults don't share. Adults are generous. They're kind. They're friendly. But they don't share. So, for example, if I came to your house and wanted your cool leather jacket, you don't just give it to me. That's an odd thing for adults to do. Right.
Especially if I'm wearing it at the moment.
Exactly. Or like, give me those earrings, or I love your engagement ring, right? Ooh, that's a big diamond. Can I have it? Like, we don't take turns with your engagement ring, you know?
True.
That's true. So what we do as adults is what we want to reverse engineer for children. What we do as adults is we are generous. You might feed me and give me to-go boxes or maybe even a gift. And we want to teach children how to be generous. And we want to teach them how to collaborate and cooperate. So the true thing that we are teaching is not sharing. It's collaboration and cooperation. Under the age of 2, we cannot really teach cooperation. Instead, what we do is whoever has it until they're done. Find something else. Replacement, distraction, removal. Under the age of 2. Mm-hmm. Over the age of 2, depending on their receptive and expressive language, then we start to teach, actively teach cooperation. Children, humans don't come with a natural way of wanting to cooperate. It has to be taught. So the way that you look at yourself, if you're in those parenting trenches with siblings or on play dates, is as a coach, right? There is one big dump truck. What can 3 kids do with one dump truck? How can we cooperate with one dump truck? All right, you go get the rocks, you roll it over to the rocks, you get to dump it. That's the play coaching. Everyone gets a job. And I think I've used this example in class, Laura, cooperation with adults. We have one ball for 10 grown men or women and 2 baskets. Lots of rules, lots of coaching, and you can have fun with one ball and 10 people, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same with kids. We have to be the ones to be creative enough to teach strategies that are cooperative. So we're not going to teach them to share your turn, your turn, your turn. We're going to say they still have that. You have to wait until they're done. Or we have to be like, oh, you both want the dinosaur? How can we play with it together? So this means you're not really passive during playtime until it takes off. Once it takes off and you get the ball rolling, then they can play together. Then you could get minutes or hours out of cooperation play. That's beautiful, right? But you have to get them going because they can't make it up themselves. If they make it up themselves, it's going to be dominant behavior wins. Whoever's bigger, stronger, smarter, faster, whatever, right? So you have to be the one that's creative and fast thinking in the moment. One ball, what are we going to do? All right, mommy's going to hide it. Then you guys can all go find it. Or, all right, you 2 go over there and you 2 go over here and you're going to roll it back and forth to each other really fast. Or you're going to be like, okay, let's put this ball in this basket and then find how many other balls can fit in this basket, right? You have to be the one that's quick thinking and comes up with fun ideas. And let me tell you, it might be hard. And then it's the same thing that we said before about double processing. If you can't think of a replacement behavior, nor can they. Right. So instead of sharing, build cooperation. That's my big takeaway for the day.
Awesome. I love that reframing. I've never thought about it that way, but really it just fosters so many other skills. And like you said, it can lead to, you know, play and interaction. And
that's right.
Yeah. So much better than just like, I'm playing alone with the toy horse now. And now I am. And So I really love that reframing. And I think that's going to be helpful with my girls, you know, as a sibling relationship.
Yes.
So I'm going to keep that in mind.
And just like a little bonus about sibling relationships, because they live together and share all of their resources, including your time and energy, it is really helpful for siblings to have a place of their own, something. It could be one drawer, a Tupperware container. They need something where they do get to put special things that are off limits. And the reason for that is because we want to fuel this idea of privacy. And when you have to have a rule about like, no, that's mine, they need to also have the experience of no, that's mine. Mm. So that's right. Where siblings are different than playdates or friends.
Right.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yes. And another tip for playdates is before those friends come over, you ask your child, what's for everybody and what should we put away?
Right.
If you know there are things that they just love, like their special thing, be like, I think this special thing is delicate or special or whatever. Let's put it in the closet. And everything else is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, at least their brain is starting to prep for everybody's going to be touching their stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And some toys are more like cooperative than others. So also get your environment geared towards cooperation.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask Gia, something I've run into a bunch is like I'll go to a playground and I'm all on board with the there's no need to share. Sharing isn't necessary, you know, especially for Sebastian. It's like it's not developmentally appropriate even to like conceptualize sharing for him, mm-hmm. right? But it's other parents that throw a wrench in that for me. And I find myself being very annoying and starting to tell them all about like, they're like, you know, the science. I'm like, well, it's actually blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm that right. well actually person. Do you have any tips for like what I can say to other parents or when they're like, you know, telling their kids, no, you have to share. Give it to the baby. Like, that's something that's happened a lot. Like, no, you have to share. And they basically force their kid to give up their toy, even though I'm standing there being like, no, it's really okay. How do you navigate something like that?
Honestly, Laura, I wouldn't. Raising your own kids is enough work. I wouldn't. I would just be like, you know, figure out what makes sense for you and your child in that moment.
Okay.
It's, I know, it's just, I love the spirit of that. And trust me, in my line of work and in the parenting trenches, it can get dicey. Like if, like, I never give friends advice unless they really ask. I would stay out of it and just advocate for your child. Be like, oh, he didn't ask for that. Thank you. We're going to move over here.
That's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just really focus on your kids. I know that's not the same spirit of collaboration. You're right. It just gets so dicey and awkward. And I would say the reverse of that is also true. Like you could also have your parenting shield where you know you're doing something that might be getting eye rolls or stares, mm-hmm. but you know the science and you know the background. And so you can feel really strong about that, whatever it is, the not sharing or whatever something else is. So mm-hmm. it can work both ways. It could be like, it's a bummer that parent doesn't know and they're going down that wormhole with their child, but I have to be present for mine. Or like, I know these people are giving me the side eye, but I know what's best for my child.
You know, one follow-up question I have too is that a lot of our listeners have pandemic babies. Mm-hmm. You know, with Cece and with Augie, they were barely into their toddlerhood when the pandemic hit. They were like 15 and 16 months, something like that. And mm-hmm. obviously, Sebastian was born in the pandemic. And so I think a lot of parents didn't get the early practice in like play dates and sharing. Like I'm noticing a big difference because when Augie was Sebastian's age, the playgrounds were shut down mm-hmm. and we didn't get to go out and do all this stuff and start having these interpersonal skills, basically. Have you noticed that there's like a difference now post-pandemic or not? We're not post-pandemic, but, you know, post this event with your students or has there been any changes?
Yes. No, I've noticed it. I've noticed a few things. I've noticed language delays. I've noticed a lot more stranger danger with peer to peer. That's something that I've noticed a lot, where kids seem nervous around other children getting close to them and those kinds of things. There's been a huge fallout, and, you know, in 20 years we'll be reading all about it, you know, like all of this, all of the research done around this time, all the social scientists like working away to try and make sense of this experience. I'm definitely noticing that there's an impact. I mean, the speech and language delays have been so prevalent that they are pulling teachers out of retirement, or therapists out of retirement, to help. It's really, there's been a lot. And the good news is you're all in it together. So it's not like you're this one child is at a disadvantage. They're all at the same disadvantage. And it's going to take some time, I think, to recover and to get back to where we all feel comfortable playing on a playground and hearing a sneeze or a cough and not freaking out, you know, because we emote those, we, you know, somehow show our own energy around those things, and kids pick up on everything. It's a unique time to be a parent, and definitely very challenging, but you guys are doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks. I'll never forget being in virtual class with you, like in March 2020, you know, and trying to chase Augie around our living room while trying to get advice from you on Zoom. And honestly, those were some of the most useful times, because we were all freaked the F out, you know, like, and having you as a resource was like so invaluable. And even though that was such a hard time, like, I'm so grateful you guys continued to do your virtual classes.
Oh, thank you.
Which actually leads me into what I want to say, which is we need to make sure people know where they can find you, how they can book a consultation with you. I'm sure you do them for people regardless of where they're located.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't have to be in the Los Angeles area. So can you please let our listeners know where they can find you and how they can book your services?
Absolutely. I have a website, Gia Gambaro Blunt. It's my name, and I'll give you all the ways to get there, and you can book directly through there. You can also find me on the Family Room website. I do not have an Instagram presence. I am all word of mouth and doing great that way. So I'm a very high touch, and not some big, you know, business that way. I really do tailor things exactly to you. So you can find me on my website and book directly through there, and or book directly through the Family Room. You can find me either way.
And that's familyroomcenter.com, if I'm remembering correctly.
Correct. And my website is Gia Gambaro Blunt.
And that's B-L-O-U-N-T.
That's correct.
Yes. And we'll be linking all this in the show notes, so y'all don't have to worry. If you are really hard up, just send us a DM. I will connect you, because everyone needs Gia's amazing advice in their life. Like, I need you to spread the gospel of Gia.
That's so sweet.
Yes. Some serious wisdom in these last two episodes. I've just loved hearing from you and talking to you, Gia. And Laura, why didn't you like make me part of Gia's life earlier? Like, why wasn't I in these parenting classes ages ago?
That's a great question.
That's a really good question.
It's okay. I know you now, so it's all good.
I failed you horribly. I'm so sorry, Shauna.
That's okay. And before we go, Gia, you shared with us a BFP last week, but it's a whole new week. So do you have another BFP you want to share with us?
I do. My BFP for this week is the gift of DoorDash.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. What have you been dashing?
With one hand broken and one knee busted. And my boys are older now, so they do great. Like, they do a lot for me, but I just need that Thai food delivered directly to me. So
yes.
It has been such a godsend. What an amazing invention. So that's been saving my life.
Truly. Awesome. Love that.
Parenting, even when you have teenagers, but parenting with one hand has got to be really difficult.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. Everything is difficult with one hand. I really miss ponytails, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. The things you don't think about.
That's right.
Well, Gia, we can't thank you enough for coming on and doing these two episodes with us. We will probably be begging you to come back soon. And hopefully you'll be like, well, I'm so busy with all the consults, but maybe I can squeeze you in.
I'll always squeeze you in. Of course I will.
Thanks. Oh, well, I hate to end this segment because it's been so fun. But Shauna, I think it is time to move on to our BFPs and BFNs. What do you think?
I think you're right. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back and we close every show with a big fat positive or a big fat negative of the week. Shauna, hit us. What you got?
BFP, baby.
Yay, BFP.
Yay. And I have you to thank for this BFP. So thank you very much. You mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago about how you got Augie a sleep button, which you learned about from Dr. Becky. Mm-hmm. And he loved it. And I was like, ooh, Cece would probably love that. Actually, both girls would love it. But Cece's the one I'm having some sleep trouble with. I don't talk about it too much on the show because whatever. It's just never ending. But the truth is she goes to bed easily, but often wakes up early or kind of in the middle of the night. She's in this habit of waking up, coming into my bedroom and going, Mama, Nuggle me. I want Nuggles. I'm like, okay. And I'm in the habit of saying, okay. And so instead of like trying to sleep train her, put her back to bed alone, I just get up and go in bed with her and snuggle her for a while until she goes back to sleep. So she'll do that around 2:30. And then 5:30, she'll wake up before her little okay to wake clock turns green. And then she'll come in and say the same thing, Mama, nuggle me. And so I'll go in.
So cute,
and
though.
I know. It's really cute. So I'm like half complaining about it. But the truth is, like, I don't do well when I have interrupted sleep many days in a row. So I'm like, I definitely need something. So I was like, this button sounds really cool. So I bought her the button. And it came, and I recorded her message, and I presented it to her before bed the other night, and she is like, what's this? And she pushed it, and she heard my voice, and same thing, like you said with Augie, like, she just looked up at me, and like, her eyes lit up, like, oh, like, that's you? She was so surprised by it, and really into it. It was so cute.
Yeah, Augie's face, I mean, it just like a warm bath, you know, like came over his face, just like, you know, like it feels very magical to be like, my voice can do that, you know, make him feel so comforted.
It's a superpower I did not know I had.
Yes.
So I'm super into it. Yeah, she got a big smile on her face, and I explained, you know, you can, if you wake up before your light turns green, you can push this button and listen to my voice. And I also at the same time, like, just explained to her that it's difficult for me to be woken up before her light turns green. And is there anything else we can do to help her stay in bed? Because last time I asked her that, she had the idea of lullabies, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was like, well, maybe I'll try that again. And she's like, Bedtime Buddies, which is a specific lullaby artist that does kids show theme songs in lullaby style, right? So there's PJ Masks and Daniel Tiger and Shimmer and Shine and all the shows she likes and some other ones. And I was like, oh, you want to listen to Bedtime Buddy all night? I'm like, okay. So I made like a playlist 17 hours long, just repeating all of these Bedtime Buddy songs, and she had her button. And I'll be damned if the next morning that kid came into my room to wake me up at 6 o'clock on the dot, which is exactly when her light turns green. She waited. Like,
wow.
I looked at my watch and it was 6:00, like 6:00. I was like, are you kidding me? And then the next day, too, I was like, oh, my God. So the button and the lullabies, I'm just like, yay, I'm so excited.
It doesn't it feel good to crack the code, even if it's temporary? You're just like, yes.
Yes. I'm like, this might just last a couple days, but those 2 days are glorious. I'm so happy.
Did you go back and review the footage to see if she like got up and was self-soothing with the button?
You know, I didn't, although... The other night, you know, we have a sound monitor in her room that's out in the living room where we watch TV at night and stuff. And I guess that particular night she was kind of wide awake and having trouble going to sleep. And all of a sudden on the monitor, I hear, hi, Cece, it's Mama. I love you so much. And I heard her hit the button and listen. She listened to it over and over 20 times. I probably had to like listen to my own voice come through the monitor. But it was really, really heartwarming to like know that she was listening to it and, you know, self-soothing. And she put herself to sleep, you know, shortly after that. She didn't need anyone to help her. So, yeah, it's been a huge success. So thank you for sharing that with me.
Thank Dr. Becky, man. She knows her shit.
Such a cool idea. Of course, Elle wants one now.
Of course.
So I'm going to have to get her one, too. She like came in. She's like, what is this? And just came in and started slamming the button like 15 times. It's like, hi, Cece. Hi, Cece. Hi, Cece. Hi. Like, I'm like, calm down with that. She's like, I want to record a message and try to figure out how to. I'm like, oh, my God, calm down. I'll get you your own button. So that's next on the agenda.
You should definitely do that. I've been considering getting a backup button because I'm like, oh, God, what if this one breaks? Because it's some, you know, cheap plastic from Amazon. So like, what if it breaks in the middle of the night and we don't have a replacement, you know?
Oh, my God. Laura, you need to buy like 10 backups. Just put them away in the shelf for safekeeping.
They do sell like multi-packs, I noticed when I was trying to send you the link to it. I was like,
there you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's a little bit of good news in my life. What about you? Do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I also have a BFP.
Oh, good. After your rough week, I'm glad there's a little BFP there.
This is actually something that predates the tummy bug that Augie got. But my BFP is a song that he's learned at school that was not something I anticipated, but he loves it. It's not something I ever anticipated he would be into, but apparently it's like the popular song in his preschool. Like, they sent the newsletter out and we're like, okay, well, this week we're continuing to sing this song because everyone loves it. And that song is Country Roads by John Denver.
Oh, Country Roads. Oh my God. Does Augie sing it?
Well, funny you should mention that, because I sent you a video. Not only does he sing it, he sings it all the time, everywhere, and he comes up with his own lyrics. And so I'm sending you a video of, like, this is him right before he got sick singing Country Roads.
Oh my God, I cannot wait to see this. Okay.
He gets a little distracted in the middle, so you'll just have to bear with that.
Take it home to the place. Augie Fly, shoot, 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 fly, right there, shoot, fly.
What were you singing? Oh, I think I got it. They catch it?
Yeah.
Country roads, take me home
to the place
I belong.
Augie, West Liberty.
Mountain Mama.
I
hear a voice.
In the morning, he calls me. Radio reminds me of my home.
Far away.
I should have been home yesterday. Yesterday. Country roads, take me home to the place. After that, let the boo-loo.
Oh my God, that is so adorable. And kudos to the preschool for teaching them like some good old classic hits instead of like Baby Shark and shit. Like, I'm loving this.
I know. It's what you get for going. You know the account like Los Feliz Daycare?
Yeah.
It's like a parody account of Los Angeles preschools. Like, it's a little close to home with our preschool. Like, we're not quite that bad, but our preschool is definitely like the type of place they're parodying. But it's great because they, you know, teach actual real songs and stuff, and the kids love it. He's really funny too. He doesn't quite understand the lyrics of Country Roads, and you know, there's a one of the lyrics in the chorus is like, West Virginia, country mama, take me home, country roads, right?
Uh-huh.
His version of that is, West Virginia, back to mama. He always says, back to mama, and I'm like, oh, you're so cute.
Oh, I love that so much. Oh, so adorable. I could like watch that video for an hour.
Well, I mean, there will be opportunities for you to hear him sing it.
Good. I need to get together in person and have him put on a little John Denver show for me, okay?
Also, I should say it's a pretty easy song to learn on the ukulele, I've discovered. So if you have a ukulele lying around, like we have a toy ukulele that I have to retune every 5 minutes, but I figured out how to play it. So,
awesome. Yeah,
Country Roads. That's my BFP.
Cool. Very good. I think that's it for our episode. What a good one.
Yes. Thanks so much to Gia for coming on these last two episodes. Mm-hmm. You are amazing and we love you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So before we go, Shauna, we do need to read a 5-star review. Do you have one for us?
Oh, I do. This one is from a listener on Apple Podcasts. I'm not sure how to pronounce the username, so I'm just going to dive right in. The title of the review is My Favorite Podcast Every Week, 5 stars. I adore this podcast. I feel like Shauna and Laura are my unofficial best mom friends, parentheses. But seriously, like, if you guys ever want to hang out in Boise, hit me up, and parentheses. Side note, that would be awesome. I would love to go to Boise. Okay, continuing. I started listening January of 2020 when I first found out I was pregnant with my second pregnancy. Through two miscarriages and my third time's a charm baby, who is just a few weeks apart from Laura's second, I feel like this podcast has seen me through so many momming ups and downs. Shauna and Laura's relatable mom perspectives, along with their delightful senses of humor, have not just been comforting and entertaining, they've been inspiring. This podcast has always been my first listen, like literally in the shower, first thing Monday morning, and my favorite. I hope it never ends. I will turn to Shauna and Laura for anecdotes and opinions through my baby's teething, sleeping regressions, preschool probs, middle school muddles, and high school highs. Keep it coming, and thank you. My only complaint is I listen to them right away, and the wait feels too long until the next week. Maybe a Patreon page to subsidize extra apps? ? Thanks, ladies.
Well, hot damn, that's a good review.
That is such a good review. Thank you.
If I'm ever in Boise, we're going to hit you up. The only problem is we have no idea who you are because of that username. So you'll have to send us a DM.
Send us a message. Yeah, I hear Boise's very cool. And I don't know, Laura, little Patreon idea, maybe something for us to mull over.
It sure is, yeah.
Listeners, if you have opinions on our show, please do us a favor. Share those opinions on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen with a 5-star review. It helps us so much grow our audience, and we really, really appreciate everyone taking the time out of their day to pop a review into Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thank you so much. Listeners, if you have anything you want to chime in about this week's episode, send us a message. We love hearing from you. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always throw a voice memo in there. Just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And finally, you know you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet. So to do that, go to Facebook, search Big Fat Positive Community, request to join because it's a private group and you got to answer those two membership questions because that's how we know you're not a robot. And if it turns out you're not a robot, you will be sent straight through to the amazing, wonderful conversations we're having in there.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.